This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello Kitty is a girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Punch it, Chewie.
Punch it!
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. I find your lack of faith disturbing, Admiral. Stay on target. I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain. Laugh it off, fuzzball. Why, you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder! You could use a good kiss.
I love you.
I know. Uta guta solo, niwana wanga. Hanma boogie.
Then I just want to engage with all the conferences we have and just, you know, if I can speak at them or just sit there and learn from everybody who's talking and network and build this community to be even better because, I mean, we're starting to get a global spotlight on us. People are like, oh yeah, Melbourne, that's a place.
Mm.
It's yep. a place to be. That's what they say, right?
Don't worry about the weather.
Yeah, it's fine. You just go inside.
Just
it's fine.
Bring an umbrella.
Oh, but it's your responsibility as a diverse person to explain to me why this is a thing. And it's like, you know what? Actually, it's not. It's your responsibility
as
a privileged person to look it up yourself and figure it out for yourself. And then if you have detailed questions, I'll help you out with that. But I'm not going to baby.
Or if you want my personal
story.
Yeah, if we've got a few hours or whatever.
Mm.
Sure. But yeah, there comes a time when responsibility is for each person to be taking that, I think.
Games let players or their guests, whatever you want to call that person who's interacting with it, they become the storytellers. They are literally the main, like, they are the main character. They are the most important thing in that game is the person who's playing it. And there's no other medium that does that quite as exactly.
What's another common noise for a developer?
Screaming, just like, and the sound of tears.
That might be off-putting.
Screaming and the sound of tears. And like
so
the
a lot
sound
of, crying,
of panic.
Pain and angst and anxiety.
Yeah, the sound of anxiety, whatever that is. I think it's
I
more like
that
a
is.
Smell, to be honest.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Pheromone release or something like... It does, doesn't it? And animals fear it. It's like earthquakes. Animals sense the anxiety of the earth or whatever it is. An earthquake. And they get all crazy and bark at their dogs and run away of their cats, you know.
Not usually that. No, but
hiding.
We do drop single tears occasionally from stress.
But it's all for the love.
Oh, yeah.
It? I mean, you wouldn't do it otherwise.
You don't do it for the money.
No, clearly you're insane. But all right, well, we'll do the intro. Actually, that was the intro, but clearly you're insane. This is Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9 and talking about games and game development and something called Free Play that was on fairly recently here in Melbourne town. And talking about feminism and the topic of women in games and all those great social justice. Social justice, I can't speak properly, and even some fun. And that's with Cherie Davidson. Welcome to the show.
It's lovely to be here.
That was a long intro. I'm so sorry. There must be some real positives and highlights, I'm sure, that are good, good things.
Oh, absolutely. Like I was saying earlier, you do it for the passion. You do it because you absolutely love it. And whether that's like a technical love, you love like the joy of solving code and making things do things, which is very rewarding. Or whether it's making a beautiful piece of art. Or for me, it's a lot of it is working with people and getting like making a thing that's greater than the whole. Or the whole is greater than the parts that put it together. That's what I love about it. And also like the combination of little things. Like often I do technical art, which is kind of like this combination of being creative aesthetically, but also having enough technical backing to make the computer make it do what you want it to do, basically.
Make it work.
Yeah, make it do the work.
Make it do it. Oh, cool.
Do the thing, computer.
Well, let's introduce you then. No, the listeners need to know. They need to know who you are. You're amazing from what I've just read. Tiny paragraphs on my page, no, but from what I've read and seen, you wouldn't be part of Free Play if you weren't amazing, Cherie. And let's just look at you and you're a game developer. Do you call yourself a dev? Is that what people call themselves?
Yeah, or? Dev, indie, the other kind of indie dev.
Indie dev.
I guess.
Endeav. Endeavor.
Developer.
Developer. That's all very nice. So who are you?
Oh, this question is tough.
Sorry. But...
No, so I mean, I think of myself just as a person, as part of a greater scene. But I'm kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to development, so I can do programming and art and design. I've worked at RMIT teaching game design for about 4 years now.
Okay, cool.
And I've been involved with Free Play since 2013, when they asked me to come on and judge and speak about education in games.
Mm-hmm.
I also work at a couple of, well, I've worked at a couple of companies. The biggest one at the moment is Wanda MMO.
Right.
Which are making a PS4 game coming out very soon.
Mm.
Secret plug.
Do you want me to keep that in? Can we keep that in? Or?
Yeah, if you like.
Oh, cool. I always ask. People go, no, you can't do that. Well, thanks for telling me. And then I have to cut it out.
No, I think it'll probably make my boss pretty happy if I plug it a little bit. But that's a bit of a special game because it's non-combat and it's quite different to most online MMOs, mass multiplayer games that exist. And there's a real focus around that about communication and balancing it, to cater to this totally different audience.
Mm.
So, for example, my mother loves it. She hates pretty much all games, but she saw Wanda and she was like, oh, I get to be a griffin, yeah.
Oh. So what is it that's the appeal for everyone out there? Why is it so important, do you think?
So in the... A lot of games fit into this particular like genre that exists. Mm. There's like this idea that you, again, all sorts of game theory kind of stuff on it, but particularly, like a lot of time when we play games, we want to feel like we're doing something or achieving a thing.
Yeah.
And so that's turned into these systems that give us this feedback loop where we constantly feel like we're doing something. And we are doing something, right? You're achieving something. You have a value of this thing in the game that you've done. But games often get so caught up in that like achievement cycle that's become like the thing that all games are like, they all kind of have. Wanda kind of steps back from that and goes, okay, let's make a game that's about relaxation. It's just about literally wandering around on this beautiful tropical island. Mm. And I can say it's beautiful because I'm not an artist on it. So I can plug that. And it just kind of, it says you can explore the island as a humanoid character called a hero, or you can explore it as a tree character called an Orin, or you can fly as a griffin, or you can be an Azatash, which is like a water under the sea creature.
Okay.
And it just kind of says, well, you can go in this world and you can just explore and you might get little bits of story as you go. You'll be with other people, but it won't be in a competitive way. You're going to be with them and you're going to talk to them. We have this whole system set up with like symbols and I won't go into details of it, but basically it's a new language that our sound designers worked pretty hard making the sounds for, which can be translated into whatever your native language is. But for the most part, you're not speaking it, you're not talking to a microphone saying the language. You're just kind of saying, I want to do this symbol, and that might be the symbol for water, or the symbol for flight,
okay,
or the symbol for over
sort
there.
Sort of like hieroglyphic type of things.
So it's just filled with like basic nouns and verbs, and there's no specific grammatical structure to it. So players can start to form that themselves. And we're hoping that there'll be a lot of emergent play coming from that. So that combined with like other little things like skydiving, so the humanoid character can jump on a griffin, and they can fly up into the air, and the hero can jump off, go skydiving, and land on another griffin. So
lots of
kind of playfulness.
Stunt work, I'm thinking.
Yeah, stunt work. Without the real danger, though.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, there's a lot of fantasy elements there, too.
Yeah.
When you're talking about things like griffins and, what were they, sort of like a sea nymph, the Azatash
kind of like a lizardy
underwater thing.
Lizard's probably the most accurate, like an amphibian.
Oh, all right. Oh, well, I caught again my favourites.
Axolotls.
I can't even say it properly, but I love them. I love them. They're just...
They're cute and kind of horrifying.
Bizarre and spooky and kind of, really cool. Ancient. There's that ancient thing. This sounds ancient. Like this is ancient sort of realms and really interesting primal stuff.
It has a really very interesting story to it, which I don't want to talk about.
Okay.
If someone plays it, it's kind of...
It's really
cool. It's
a bit spoiling it.
Yeah, it's quite deep. And not in terms of being detailed and intricate, but it's deep in the way it communicates to you.
Cool. Oh, wow. And look, what would be the average then of someone playing this game? We're looking at how many... I mean, have you played it all the way through yourself? Is it complete?
I mean, this idea of like all the way through is also that's like this game thing. Where it's like you play a game... Did you clock it?
Okay. Good point. From beginning to end. Start to finish, yeah. Oh, I'm intrigued.
It's made to kind of appeal to everyone. So you could just drop in for 20 minutes and that might be all you ever play it. But you could keep on coming back to it every night and have friends and people you meet and just...
So you could be obsessive compulsive and get a lot out of this. Or you could be just self-sufficient and just do it once and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Wow. Okay. I'm intrigued. It sounds amazing. I'd say it looks amazing. Can't see it, of course. This is radio. But anyway, meaningful game design. That's what it says in your little bio here, that you love the joy also of problem solving, as you said, through code. What's brought you to that?
To finding code or
meaning in code? Is it meaning in code or answers to...
It was like, if you're going to do something, do it good. So do it with meaning. Like, we're all humans and we're all trying to... Like any art, right? It's like, what are we doing here? What's happening? Mm. And games are the you know, they're a baby medium. I mean, not really, because they've been around forever, but we don't think about modern games that way.
Yeah.
But modern games are this baby medium, and we can do so much with them, and they're just like taking their first couple of steps. And it's just, you know, what can we explore with that? And like, some of my students make some games, some ones I taught last year, and they can be so personal, they can be so intimate. And at the same time, you can have a game that is like a massive online game that has this crazy emergent behavior that no one could have expected would happen. And it's like, it's making entirely new social circles that just couldn't have existed without this virtual world.
Yeah, so many layers and ideas in there. So, you know, do you do this all the time? Is this you 24 hours a day?
Hopefully not. I mean, I like to sleep.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, obviously it's something that does take a lot of time up, personally. So it must be something that certainly keeps you involved and absorbed.
It depends what's going on in the year, right? So the last couple of weeks have been really intense, because that's been, I've been teaching almost full time as far as that's concerned. And then also doing free play judging and doing a couple of speaking events at free play as well. And on top of that, I've been also, I'm going overseas shortly, so I've been organising my visa and doing all that kind of organisational stuff.
Where are you off to?
I'm actually going to work at Media Molecule, which are a big developer in the UK.
Wow.
Which is super, super exciting for me. So I'm going to train with them for 4 months. And in theory, I come back and I teach everybody here about it, about that experience. But so, I mean, that's going to start in a week, basically. I'm flying out on Sunday.
Oh, wow. All right.
So this is kind of this is my most relaxed week this week, is like just, you know, just finishing off my work at uni.
Packing your bags.
Yeah, packing my bags and saying goodbye to everybody, which is...
4 months. That's amazing.
It's pretty good.
4 months, yeah. So it's like, was this a scholarship or some sort of embedding thing they did?
So Film Vic is just like this... godsend to the entire games industry.
Yeah, they are.
So they've supported all sorts of games, and so now they're supporting me to go over and do this. And they have like an application process, which they kind of filtered through the applicants, and then Media Molecule filtered through the applicants, and we had some interviews and decided who might be the best fit for the company. Mm. So I was lucky enough to be chosen to do that, and that will be, I'm pretty sure, 24/7. They're going to be shipping titles. They're going to be like, you have to do work now. We need to get done.
Wow. Oh, this is really exciting. And also, free play was so what I managed to get around to seeing and so on, talking to some of the people, is also incredible. The diversity there, you know, the different representations and all the different types of people and seriously, the games and the breadth and scope of it. It's so broad and 10 years. It's incredible.
It's just crazy.
It's incredible.
Absolutely crazy. And Dan did an amazing job this year as the director, and just like 10 days of free play. It was just flat out. It was just crazy flat out. And
that's a long festival. That's long for games, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, considering...
Well, PAX is what, 3-4 days, and that seems huge enough. And then to do 10 independent games is just amazing.
Yeah, and then it's like the, you know, everything is downscale when it's indie. It's like the scope, everything needs to... Generally, it's smaller, right? We make smaller games because we have smaller budgets, we have smaller teams.
Exactly.
So to see that the festival has come off this great, and there's just... I mean,
you say smaller. Sorry, I'm butting in, but you say smaller, but it's big, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge.
I mean, there's so many people now, and there's so many crossovers. I was bumping into people who do this, and then I realised, oh, actually, so you're writing this fictional novel, and you're working with these people making this game, and it's like, oh wow, you know, it just blows my mind. Filmmakers and stuff getting involved.
That's a really good point, because I mean, when you say indie, it's like this word that can mean a bunch of stuff right now. Like indie can mean like free play festival, which is I'm trying to figure out how to even like separate this word in my head. I mean, indie by definition means independent, so it means you're not owned.
You're not a big mainstream.
Yeah, you're not big mainstream.
Thing.
You're not owned by a publisher. Hmm. There are very little studios in Melbourne now that are owned by publishers. We are mostly kind of small scale, little companies of, you know, like 2 to 10 people or something. There are a couple of bigger ones, but not
but
too
they're
many.
Relatively tiny, you know, little independent, little micro businesses, aren't they? Micro.
Yeah, I think
collectives or
yeah. Collectives.
So I don't feel like there's not the money thing. It's not the big... It doesn't feel like that. It felt like I met Louis Roots from one of the guys from SK Games from Perth. And there's just no sense at all of organising. But not in a bad way. It's like there's just that's not important. It's important about connecting with people and integrating what they're doing and making stuff and just having fun.
Yeah, well, it's
seeing where it goes.
Yeah. Like, you can try and organise it, but on this scale, you don't know, unless you follow these like weird kind of do this with players and do this thing that monetizes, and yes, all these discussions of monetization, right? How do you make money off games?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a gross discussion in some ways, but it's also a really important discussion. Yeah, well, because you don't want to starve to death.
No, you don't want to be exploited.
Yes, and you don't want to be exploited.
Come along and steal your hard work away from you, yeah.
But even more than that, it's just how do I get people to give me money for my creation? You know, and I think a lot of...
Without feeling bad.
Yeah, like, without feeling bad, without being like, I'm going to give this to you for free, but really, can you just give me $2 so
I
can...
Really, I need money for my Mikey or...
Yeah, you know, and so, there's a lot of discussion around that. And that's why you have these different groups in India. There's the indie... There's lots of subcultures in Melbourne now, I'll put it this way. There's lots of subcultures.
Niche.
Yeah, and Free Play is kind of has brought together a couple, like, experimental games and art games, and also, like, a little bit of the kind of commercial side of games, where it's still kind of experimental and still pushing the boundary of what games are. I think a lot of Free Play is about... It's about the diversity, it's about the experimentation, it's about making more out of games, like, pushing that and going, what is a game? What can we do with games? And showing the world what games are as well, giving that... Mm. Opening that for the public and saying, hey, look, games don't have to be some AAA shooter where you're killing zombies.
Yeah.
Games can be like this super intimate special experience that you can share with the developer.
Hmm. And just for yourself. Like you said, just a 5-minute thing or a 50-hour thing.
Exactly.
You want it to be. Mm.
And it's kind of beautiful because, I mean, other mediums, like you look at an art piece and you personally will be touched by that. You'll look at that and you'll take something from it. Games let players or their guests, whatever you want to call that person who's interacting with it, they become the storytellers. They are literally the main, like, they are the main character. They are the most important thing in that game is the person who's playing it. And there's no other medium that does that quite as exactly as games do.
Yeah, it is a single pursuit, but something that can be enjoyed by many, but just in different ways. I mean, you can jump in later to play the same game and they're going to have a totally different experience than the person previous to you or whatever, or your best friend. You can have a totally different way of looking at it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of beautiful because, like I was saying, you can make an intimate experience. And like there's games I've played where I've learned so much about the developer from playing their game. I've been like, whoa, this is personal, you know?
Yeah.
And there are other times where I play a game and I learn so much about myself. It's like, no, actually, I'm afraid of this, or I don't know about that. Like, I'm not quite sure I'm going with this, but...
This becomes like a cognitive type of thing. It's your own...
But it's very special. And like a well-designed game, it's interesting because you'll talk about a linear story where blah, blah happens, right?
Mm.
But actually, the designer isn't so much telling the story as they are letting the player tell the story in the most intuitive way. And that's when you have a frustrating game, is when the designer hasn't done a good job at that. So the player's like, how do I tell this story? I'm confused. Am I supposed to go into this wall? No, it doesn't work. Whereas a well-designed game, you come into it and you just this thing is just happening and you're just telling this story and you're creating this world, or you're moving through an experience.
So people build on those games too, and it can take years. Is that right? Like,
yeah, it depends. Take a long... I mean, there's games I've heard of that have been in development for like 7 years, which is ridiculous. And there are other games that take 2 months to make or less. There's game jam games that are absolutely brilliant. They took 2 or 3 days to make.
Mm.
So then that's the other thing is scale.
Yeah, well, you're...
Scale up team size and scale
several
time.
Hundreds of people, you know, putting input, which is amazing. I mean, what a great community that can do that. You know, and people think games is just this, there's still this terrible, I think, there's still this pernicious attitude about gamers. Well, that term has also been questioned now, of course. Gamers have been questioned. So many things get questioned, and usually perhaps not by necessarily the people within it. I don't know. But looking at that, there is the negative aspects, which brings me to the topic. I hope that was a good segue to the topic of feminism and women's involvement in games. And I want to know what you think, what your opinion is, where we stand, all that stuff. I know it's a big question. Sorry, but...
No, but it's an important question.
Yeah.
And it's obviously been pretty hot in the news lately as well in the last year or so. No, it's interesting because there's this weird pushback from gamers. And I think it's weird because it's not coming from the developers, it's coming from the gamers themselves. And like I was saying earlier about you're telling the story.
Yeah.
Players have this sense of ownership over the games because they felt they were the storytellers of that game. Therefore, they own the game, whether it's the specific IP or whether it's the idea of the entire medium. They feel like they own the medium. And so because of the stereotype of like the white cis male heteronormative like dude bro and they're also they have this thing of being slightly socially awkward, right? Maybe they were bullied in high school, this kind of thing.
So they turn
to games as like their escape,
so safety place for themselves,
exactly,
and their friends
who
similar experience,
perfect. And so then when they play an online game and a girl pops up into it, they're like, what the hell is she doing here? Like, I don't want this.
I haven't experienced a meaningful relationship with a girl in any way, or even conversations. Yeah, some of them can't even have a conversation.
Yeah, there's also some psychological stuff going on, which I don't know enough about this demographic to talk about.
Yeah.
But there's definitely this reaction against females and people who they don't identify as the same as them being in this space. And they're like, what are you doing here? Get out of here, games are mine. Like, they've got me through high school, they've got me through XYZ, therefore I own this. And most people are like, yeah, this is fine. There's no problem with this. Like, women in games, or, you know, every diverse person being in games, that's fantastic. They're broadening the medium, they're making it better.
Interesting.
And definitely on the development side, we see that happening. Now, the part where it gets a bit gross on the development side is maybe like publishers, where they're still appealing to that demographic.
Trying to cater,
because
the mainstream.
Dollars, it's like, it's not safe if we don't cater to that demographic, which is unpleasant. But I mean, for them, that's their business reality. If we make this risk, then we're going to lose money, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And again, that reinforces for that stereotype demographic, whatever you call it, for them, that they own games, because there are these decisions being made that cater to them. But the rest of the scene, everybody else is kind of like, we're going to do whatever we want over here, and you guys can complain over in your corner. Or, I mean, obviously not their corner, they're pretty loud because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
They certainly are quite loud.
Yeah.
Incredibly aggressive, many of them. It's no good. We all know that. But, I mean, I have actually heard some males around the place who don't even know who, for example, Anita Sarkeesian is. And they were like, you have to educate me. And I was like, oh, man, I just can't. I don't have time. And this is the whole thing that some men want to know, but because it's not with them 24/7, I guess, or they haven't been exposed to it, they then reach out and want to be educated. And I seriously, I'm one of those women that go, look, all I can do is give you some links, look it up. I don't actually have time.
Yeah, no, just Google.
Why should we have to teach the unteachable? I don't know.
No, there's a level of effort, and I think you're right. A lot of men want to understand, they want to help, but some of them aren't quite getting it, or they're not quite there. Or they don't quite have the initiative.
They don't think it's serious, I guess.
Or they feel that it's your responsibility as a woman. Or as a diverse person.
Why don't you just play some other game? Or why don't you just turn it off?
Well, there's that, but there's also like the ones who are trying. It's like, but it's your responsibility as a diverse person to explain to me why this is a thing. And it's like, you know what? Actually, it's not. It's your responsibility
as a
privileged person to look it up yourself and figure it out for yourself. And then if you have detailed questions, I'll help you out with that. But I'm not going to baby.
Or if you want my personal story.
Yeah,
if we've got a few hours or whatever.
Mm.
Sure. But yeah, there comes a time when responsibility is for each person to be taking that, I think.
And yeah, so I mean, that exists both in the scene, and obviously a lot in the players themselves, more in the players, I think.
Yeah.
But in the scene, there's so much positivity. There's an active effort being made.
Yeah, because I mean, I was going to ask you your experience, if you don't mind saying, how your experience as you identify as a woman.
They've been pretty good.
Pretty
good. I mean, I think the worst was, and it was all that sort of kind of subconscious stuff, the stuff you don't really notice until you reflect back 2 years later and you're like, oh yeah, they were all talking over me. Yeah, like that kind of thing. So I mean, my worst was when I did my programming degree, I was in I was three women out of like 20 guys or 25 guys.
Right.
And I mean, earlier this year I went to GDC and I went to a talk on like a technical art topic, and I was in a room of like 200 people and I didn't see any other women in the room with me.
Wow. Okay.
So, and I think that's part of the whole STEM issue as well.
Mm.
So, I mean, so long as games can kind of slide in as like an art form, that gender gap isn't so bad. But as soon as you get those STEM issues bleeding in,
it becomes
a very different story.
It becomes pretty obvious.
Yeah, it becomes
there's
obvious.
There's a deficit there.
Mm. But I mean, even then, personally, I haven't ever felt anything really, really bad. Like, I've never really felt more than everyday life. It's been the same as just general world sexism.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes it's like casualized racism. It can be there. It can be something that people are unconscious of committing, yeah. committing or doing.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard for then you to know as well. Mm. What, did that actually happen? Were people, and like, I doubt myself a lot because I'm quite young. Mm. But I'm, you know, I've been the chair of free play judges, which is a pretty big deal. Mm. It's like, do I actually belong here? Am I supposed to be here? Like, I have a bit of imposter syndrome, which is a thing we talk about a lot. But I feel as if you're a diverse person, you aren't represented by the higher ups in the industry. Yeah. I think you like triple and second triple, quadruple. You guess that a lot because you're like, am I
just a token?
Yeah, am I token? Like, yeah. Am I supposed to be here, or like, do I really belong? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I get that sometimes. Do I deserve to be here? I don't know. You know, that kind of pops up, and it's like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm thinking that. You know, and you have to check yourself, and you realize, oh, you go through a big mistake.
Checklist, life achievements. I know. Like, oh, yeah, okay,
tick
yeah.
the box. So. Are there more women in the Melbourne sort of game, independent indie game scene as such that you've worked with?
Are there women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You work with? Yep.
Yeah, there's heaps. I think it was in 2013. I went to the Global Game Jam. And so that's small teams of, I don't know, like maybe 3 to 6 people or something. You make teams, you make a game over the weekend.
Yep.
And I was in a team of all women, which I think was maybe one of the first times that happened. And the gender ratio there is not super great. It was like, at the time, I think it was like 12% or so, maybe higher, I'm not sure. Something not so great. But that was pretty exciting for us. It was like, whoa, it was a team of all women. Wow. That's a thing that happened. And, okay, little triumphs. and then later on, like I think this year, the Global Game Jam, I don't want to quote the number. I'll get it wrong. We should insert it later. but there was a record breaking number of like 30-something%, which was excellent. And among that, though, as well, it wasn't just there are more women, there were trans women and there were queer folk and there were people of different races, and it was nice. It was like, yes, we're getting diversity in here, we're getting different things said. And it's, for a game jam, it's really important because they are those little like intimate games you're gonna be making in that time because they're so small,
and we don't want people to miss out also being part of everything and bringing their own experiences and opinions. And
to be honest, I'd much rather play a game made by any of it, like way more, like 1,000 times more than something else made by another white dude. No offense to talented of white dudes out there.
But you probably find it doesn't engage. It's about engaging, and it's like anything, you get it and you get that experience, and it's really great. It's really awesome as an experience. And then you tell other people about it who may have a similar type of experience, and it just builds, and it's really healthy, I think, really positive to see that happening. And Melbourne is so ahead in many ways. There's so many indies here and devs and all of that, and it's very, and they, you know, it's just really something incredible has happened in Melbourne, and thanks to a lot of support from certain bodies, which is good.
And hard work from all the people living here as
well. Yeah. Now, you're going to the UK soon. If they said to you, stay, we'll offer you something, would you leave? Sorry, it's a whole question, but... Or would you stay? No, Melbourne's it for me. Melbourne's where the games are.
Well, I'm coming back. I'm not...
Well, you have to come back. You can't take one suitcase and set up house.
I mean, I wouldn't say no because I feel so privileged to get this offer I've got. And, like, I did support by FilmVic, so it's like, I'm not going to turn them down.
No, you better, enjoy it.
And, like, the amount I can learn from them and the stuff I can bring back is going to be so useful. And, you know, if it gets 5 years from now and I haven't applied everything I've learnt in the next 4 months, I'm going to be pretty upset with myself. So
I am sure that you will apply it. You'll be probably doing it while you're there, whatever it is.
I hope so.
And
as well,
developing something new and that you haven't done before, which will be so cool. And the connections you make as well, it's going to be amazing. I am jealous. And I don't know a thing about coding or anything like that. I'm a terrible gamer, it looks really positive with the feminism and stuff, so that's very good. I feel positive about that. And what happens next, like, for you? And obviously you've got Wanda coming up, Wanda the MMO.
That's coming out soon. I'm flying away, and it's going to be nice because I'm going to focus on a single thing instead of 50 things at once. I have a little title that I'm working on. It's the thing that Melbourne developers do as well. Everyone in Australia, they say little. Like, my game is a little thing. And it's like, it's not really... You wouldn't be doing it if it was little. Anyway.
It takes up a lot of your time. It's big.
Yeah, it's pretty big, right? But yeah. You have this thing where you're like, oh, it's little, it's nothing. Just hide it under the...
Oh, it's the... is it the tall poppy thing?
Yeah, tall poppy syndrome. Yep, yeah, absolutely. No, so I'm working on a thing with my partner and another friend, which is still in development. And I won't talk about it until it's a bit more finished.
Yeah.
But that's existing. It's a thing that I'm working on. And hopefully I'll be able to keep teaching when I come back. RMIT won't disown me in the 4 months I'm away. Mm. And then I just want to engage with all the conferences we have and just, you know, if I can speak at them or just sit there and learn from everybody who's talking and network and... build this community to be even better, because I mean we're starting to get a global spotlight on us. People are like, oh yeah, Melbourne, that's a place.
Yeah,
place to be. So they say, right?
Don't worry about the weather.
Yeah, it's fine, you just go inside.
Just
it's fine,
bring an umbrella. Yeah, no, I've noticed it the same. I went to the Home Cooked Comics Festival, which was on at Northcote and here in Melbourne, and it was fabulous, all the connections and networks that were going on. There were people from France, there were people from New Zealand, you know, big international places. And no, it was fun. It was like, wow, all these people talking about comics and doing some similar stuff and crossing over into music and animation, and some were talking about games. There was one lovely bloke there who's made a comic about video games.
I love this.
It's amazing. He can't afford to make a game, but he can make his awesome comic, which is about, it's called Insert Coin. Oh, big shout out to you, Frank Candeloro. You're awesome. I just didn't have any small change to insert a coin to him to take the comic. But it's some such cool stuff. And this is Melbourne. It's just so cool.
There's nowhere else I want to be.
It's not just sports, you know, people.
There is this underculture of people who are interested in arts and other form of media.
Not forms just of media. Sport. But anyway, we're sport capital. You know, that's how they plug Melbourne now.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what everybody, that's what the norms know.
Yeah, but little do they really know what's secretly going on. Well, it's not a secret anymore. Melbourne doesn't have a secret. It's not Tasmania. And Tasmania's got some awesome things happening there too.
Well,
but
I think
don't get me started.
All of Australia. I mean, like we got, on the bigger gaming events, we got PAX Oz, right, which is a thing.
Very lucky Melbourne getting that. That's awesome.
And it's like, well, Melbourne's got it. Australia's got it. It's like of all the places in the rest of the world, Australia. Like,
I know.
And then we're just sitting on the bottom of the planet.
No, that's New Zealand.
Well, we're neighbours, you know, next to each other.
Yeah, they're talking about global warming. A lot, because they are going to probably suffer a lot. But we love them, and I'm one as well, so I can't say mean things about my friends, but I'll try not to. Look, Cherie.
Yeah.
Cherie.
You got it.
Cherie. All right. I just want to say Cherry.
Oh, look, whatever works. I don't mind.
No, Cherie Davidson, I want to thank you so much for speaking to us about your art, your passion, your trade, really, your indie dev life as a games developer and all that, and what's happening for the future, and lots of great stuff, actually. Very exciting. And
it's been an absolute pleasure.
Go
thank
you. Go you.
And you keep doing great stuff here.
Go me, go us. Have a fabulous trip in the UK. We want to hear about it when you come back. Give us an update if you've got
absolutely
time.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks again. This is Sci-Fi and Scream, and go code indie dev games. Go games. We love them. Independent games in Melbourne is happening. And yeah, this is the post free play podcast we had to have here on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening.
Woman in Cons.
This is the podcast that we had to have.
For Geek Girl Speak.
Woman in Cons. So what do the ladies of the nerd think of popular pop culture conventions?
What are the conventions? And how do we feel we're being supported, represented?
What do we think of inclusiveness? And
are they inclusive?
Are they not?
What do the ladies like to do at cons?
Cosplay? Crossplay?
And much, much more
here on a very special Geek Girl Speak podcast
and shows and episodes,
especially on Women in Cons,
Women in Conventions, Ladies of the Nerds.
Geek Girls do speak about their experiences, what they think, what they've been through, and where they think the future lies. For Women in Cons, for all girls or females,
everybody to be involved. Inclusiveness happens only on Geek Girl Speak
and only on Sci-Fi and Scream for Joy 94.9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9. 9
You can find more Joy
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 casts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.